Okay, welcome DC fans to another episode of DC Comics News. We are on episode 192, getting closer and closer to that episode 200. With me today is the Geekopedia himself, the one, the only Steve J. Ray. How you doing, Steve?
I'm jolly well, brother Brad. Are you well, sir?
Good, good. I'm ready to talk some DC news. And as we jump into the movie news, we got some pretty exciting news that the first table reads for Superman Legacy are starting this week, according to Nathan Fillion. What was your take on this?
Now, this is beyond exciting. That means at least the first draft script approved is ready. And the cast are there at the table, voicing their characters and reading this story, possibly for some of them for the very first time. Now, that is, for me, one of the best things ever. I love seeing table reads on YouTube and stuff like that. And you get that first feel of how this cast is going to work together. And when you get a cast as strong as this one, especially Nathan Fillion as Guy Gardner, I mean, that's the casting coup of the decade, for real. I mean, that's like written in the stars. It just really gets me hyped. And we all know that when it comes to dialogue and the way people speak, Gunn is one of the best script writers out there. So I'm really, really excited to hear that, A, this is happening, possibly even as you and I are speaking right now, and that the script's done. Oh, it just gets me really hopeful for when the film is released. Give me the Man of Steel on the big screen again. I miss him. What about you, Brad?
Yeah, it just always thrills me that this is moving fast. You know, it seemed like everything was so on pause for the strike, and the strike took forever. So it's so good to see things going really fast. It's supposed to start filming in March, so a table read now seems good. And I totally agree with you that Nathan Fillion is the perfect casting, not only because of who he is, but also he and James Gunn have had such a good rapport over the years. So it's just great to see them working again, and you know that they're going to have a good working relationship. So I love to see that, because there is so much writing on this movie. As time progresses, not just for DC, but for superhero movies and the broader fandom culture. Because there is that talk of superhero fatigue, so we're going to need something great to kind of get people back, and this could be it. So, I'm excited for any news as we get closer to this. I can't wait until we get footage and more pictures. And speaking of pictures, Corner Sweat has released pictures of before and after his training for the role of Superman. What do you think of these pictures?
Some astonishing pictures. I mean, talk about transformation. I want to see who's training this guy, because it's literally like, do you remember those old comic book adverts with the Charles Atlas, where there's the nerdy guy on the beach? Yeah. And then weeks later, he's built like a superhero. It's almost that kind of a transformation, because he was never like a skinny guy to start with. He was quite trim, quite svelte. But now he is solid. I mean, I'm talking a transformation it even makes Henry Cavill's transformation when he took on the Superman role pale by comparison. This is more like what Ben Affleck went from pre-Batman versus Superman to Justice League when he's doing the whole training montage. He's bulked up and he's looking more like Superman than ever. I mean, obviously the beard doesn't help, because you want to see the chiseled jawline to make sure that, you know, that hasn't gone. But again, just like the table read, seeing this kind of dedication to the role only inspires confidence. It makes me think this guy is serious. This guy wants to be Superman in every way he can. And that just gets me more and more excited for the release of the film. I mean, what do you feel about it?
Yeah, actors, I don't think, get enough credit for the training that they have to do. It's months and months, if not even years, of training to do one of these movies. And it's not easy when you have to bulk up that fast. So, whatever he's doing, it's working, you know. And yeah, it's like everything that comes, every little bit of news we get about this makes me, you know, more excited. That's one of the things that's kind of fun about doing this podcast, is that we
absolutely
get constant input of new stories, so it keeps us excited as we give the news to the audience. But yeah, I'm just super psyched all the way around. And something else I would be psyched about is James Gunn has hinted of a Plastic Man movie that could even be directed by Darren Aronofsky, who is one of my favorite working filmmakers. So I'm excited about that. What was your take on this?
This is fascinating to me because obviously, again, Gunn is the king of social media when it comes to shooting down rumors and saying what's true and what isn't true. But this one's a bit cryptic because three titles were mentioned and he said, yeah, at least one of those is happening. So it could be Plastic Man by Aronofsky. It could be Teen Titans. And with a Damian Wayne coming alongside Batman, that must mean a grown-up Dick Grayson. That must mean a Titans. I mean, the possibilities are endless. And when you say Darren Aronofsky possibly tied to a Plastic Man movie, that blows my mind because, A, he's more primarily known as a darker or horror director, really. And Plastic Man, while he's a light, funny character, his powers can be seen in many different ways. And if there's a body horror element thrown in with the fun and the detective and the Plastic Man element, that movie could literally blow everyone's minds. It could be the new Doom Patrol. It could be the new big thing for heroes, because I think we need different takes on the superhero genre. Yes, it's the popcorn, the bubblegum, the spectacle, the summer blockbuster. But I want a bit more from my hero movies than that. Films like Chronicle and films like this, and Aronofsky Plastic Man. Wow, and who could they tie to a Teen Titans movie? I mean, again, it just fills you with almost anticipation. It has you drooling for what could happen next. I mean, you must be excited about news like this.
Yeah, I do think that we're most likely to get the Teen Titans movie. Like you said, with, you know, we're getting Damian Wayne, and that's going to tie in probably with The Brave and the Bold whenever that comes out. So I do think that would be the most likely. But that's not to say that we won't get more than one of these eventually. If you have a director tied in an idea, then James Gunn's wheels are turning already. So maybe they are talking to Darren Aronofsky. And I would love to see his take, not only on a superhero movie, but on such a wild character like Plastic Man. And it would be good to see him do something more on the comedy side of things, than because he's been known for the serious and dark films. Obviously his entire career, so it'd be fun to see him take such a turn with the superhero movie. But I would say, you know, just be patient, because we might be getting more than one of these down the road, especially, you know, if Superman comes out and does well. And I think at this point signs would be pointing that it is, because James Gunn just has that way. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get more than one of these down the road.
And if any director's capable enough and flexible enough, it's Aronofsky. I mean, we've seen James Wan do it, primarily a horror director, and he comes out and does the two action-packed blockbuster Aquaman movies. Yeah. So, and alongside James Mangold hopefully doing Swamp Thing, I'm very excited.
Yep. So, yeah, that's just another great reason to have the strike over, and everybody got what they wanted, and now we can, you know, now it's time to get these things done. And it's fun to get back in the swing of things. And, you know, we talked last episode a little bit about when we're going to see, as we move on to TV news, we're still sticking with James Gunn, but we talked last week about how we will be seeing the Creature Commandos this year. And we got even a little bit closer this week of knowing exactly when that's going to happen in 2024. Not exactly a release date, but a season. So what did you think? What did you think of this?
Again, we were thinking near the end of the year. I mean, this is near the end of the year, but the fall isn't the winter. So we could get it as soon as September. Yeah. That is super cool. Because that really is the elevator doors opening onto the ground floor of the new DC universe before James Gunn's Superman Legacy. Man, a date, a season. In the next few weeks, we will get a launch date. I'm certain of it. The fact we've gone from 2024 to fall 2024, it's happening, dude. It's happening. And this is a show I'm very excited about, as you know, because I'm a big fan of the characters in the comic books. So, I mean, what did you feel about it? It must be a bit more bit happier, yeah?
Yeah, fall is my favorite time of year. Fall and Christmas season is my favorite time of year. And one of the reasons is that you get so much new, good content, and having this out then just it makes sense. And like you said, that's a pretty big window. That could be any time between September, you know, and like Thanksgiving, you know. So I'm thinking, to me, it would make sense to release it around Halloween, because it's the Creature Commandos, you got Frankenstein, it's a very Halloween-y
type thing. You read my mind.
So I'm thinking that we'd probably see it in mid to late October would be my guess. And I can't wait. I can't wait to even see a trailer, see what the voices and the animation looks like, and just to get glimpses of what could be happening. And I think I'm guessing at this point that we would probably get a trailer around Comic-Con time, you know, in late July. So and hopefully we'll have a release date before then, but yeah, I'm excited for sure. Yeah. And speaking of James Gunn is the king of DC right now. We are learning a little bit more about the Peacemaker season 2 and what characters are returning. What did you make of this?
This makes me happy because it seems like every character that survived season 1 is coming back. But with that comes the exciting, scary, strange news of, obviously, I didn't think about this because you and I have spoken at length about how great those opening credits are and the dance sequence. Of course, I forgot that half those characters are now dead. So we're going to have new cast members and a new opening sequence. And if it's anywhere near as creative and as wacky and as sensational as that one, just sign me up. Peacemaker, I think, surprised everybody with its whole attitude and the way, again, like I said a bit earlier, it was different. It wasn't just guys in tights beating each other up, world domination. Yes, we had the alien threat. Yes, we had the guys in the Lycra, but it was guns. It was blazing. It was adult comedy, humor, rock music, and everything in between. And if we get more of that in season 2 with some great new cast members and a funky new opening sequence, hey, I can't wait for the Waller season to be over to lead straight into Peacemaker season 2. Gimme. I want it. I loved season 1 and I want more. What about you?
Yeah, you know, also we talked a little bit about this last episode, and because he was finished writing the 8th episode. And man, I am so surprised. I thought we were going to have to wait. With everything else going on, I was thinking we're going to have to wait years to see Peacemaker season 2, and I'm so glad we don't. And to this day, I will every once in a while just pop on YouTube and watch that opening credit scene, because it's
You're
just
not so alone.
I love it. And I hope he uses at least the same song. I don't know. He probably won't, but it would be nice to see him use that same song, because that just – I know. It was just – and that was so good too, because as soon as you saw that opening credit scene, the first episode, you were like, this is something different. Like you said, this is something we haven't seen before. And I loved it, and I loved the show. And you were talking about the adult humor, you know, but also you had the relationship between him and his dad and all that. You had it, so it became human, and John Cena was great at capturing that, so he was the perfect the perfect casting, and so were the other characters. So having them come back is great. Obviously James Gunn's wife is going to be an important part of the show. She was important for part of the first season. I'm there for it. I can't wait.
I mean, her character's so popular, they've resurrected her in the comics. That's how powerful this series has been. And like you said, Peacemaker just had so many layers. It had everything. That's why I'm so excited for it to come back.
If I had to pick between Peacemaker and the Suicide Squad that introduced the character, I would pick the Peacemaker series. But I like the both. Yeah. And stepping away a little bit from James Gunn, and we're going to go over to the world of the Batman, we got some set images from The Penguin with Clancy Brown. And pardon if I get this pronunciation right. Shreya Agatsu, who is, they're both great, by the way. I can't wait to see them.
Great actors.
I remember her from the days of 24 and also Sand of Fog. She was great. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what she plays. What do you make of these pictures?
Well, again, like the table read, it's in production. The cast are there. Cameras are rolling. It just builds excitement. And you may be aware, I don't know if it's visible on YouTube or not, because I know that podcast listeners can't hear my sweatshirt or my hat, but I like Batman. I'm a Batman fan. So having Clancy Brown playing a character as important as Sal Maroni in a live-action TV show with the Penguin by Matt Reeves, and it's filming, how can I not be excited? Clancy Brown is one of the greatest character actors working today, bar none. He's a legend. From his first time I saw him as the villain in the first Highlander movie, I fell in love with this guy. His Lex Luthor in Superman the Animated Series is just brilliant. Give me this show. Give it to me ASAP. I want to see it. More Matt Reeves, Batman Universe, please. And it's happening, Brad. They're filming. Yes.
Yep. I became a Clancy Brown fan. Have you ever seen Carnival when he played the villain?
I must have.
He was great. It was it's about a traveling carnival in the 30s, and he was great in that. And I like to see him being menacing, so the fact that we're going to get him in the Penguin like that, I can't wait. And yeah, both of these actors are amazing. Matt Reeves is amazing, and the fact that we're going to get to see more of Colin Farrell in the Penguin role, because great as he was, we didn't get to see enough of him in the Batman. So it's going to be, so I'm all excited. I can't wait. And this is something else that we should be seeing this year. I don't think, and possibly on the sooner side, maybe early fall as well. And this may go down as one of my favorite pieces of entertainment this year. If it's done well, I can imagine you really, really loving the show. So yeah, I'm excited. Very excited. And our last bit of TV news, back to James Gunn. He addressed the rumor that Batman TV rights belong to Disney. As such a Batman fan, what was your take on this?
I mean, do some fans literally just believe everything they hear? Yes, Disney has the right to the classic 66 Adam West TV show. That doesn't mean they own all the rights. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any Batman animated series on any other network since the 60s. Cartoon Network's had it. Gotham has been on Fox. Yes, they now own Fox, but Batman appeared in the final episode of Gotham. There were some rights issues with Joker and Batman, yes, but they appeared on the show even though they weren't named. And just because Disney owns the TV rights to one specific show doesn't mean they own the rights to every Batman-related show. Because then we wouldn't have the Penguin show coming, as we've just mentioned, by Matt Reeves. So, guys, Prime are getting the new Batman Caped Crusader animated series. No. I mean, would it be a bad thing if one day Disney and Warner merged? Hopefully, if James Gunn and Warner were more in charge and not Disney, because the Marvel Universe, for me, has been watered down slightly since Disney did take over. But that's just an opinion. So no, fans, don't believe everything you read. Don't believe everything you hear. The internet isn't always right. Warner Brothers owns the rights to all these characters. What they say goes. I mean, what did you think, Brad?
Yes. Guys, let James Gunn work. Don't worry about starting rumors. If Disney owned Batman, they would have done a lot more with Batman over the years. The problem with Batman is not the rights issues, it's the popularity. And one thing that Zack Snyder understood is Marvel heroes are the world outside your window. DC heroes are gods. Batman is just a normal guy. So it's hard to put Batman into a world with gods, even though he is one of the Trinity. That translates in comics better than it would in live action. That's why Ben Affleck had to have guns on the Batmobile. It's how he could be that strong and why he was the one who was organizing everything. But those two things make Batman such a special case. Batman is, for Warner, for DC, Batman is like printing money. It seems like every week in the comics news section, we talk about a new Batman comic. I mean, the world cannot get enough Batman. And that's something that you have to figure out how to navigate. That's why we have the Matt Reeves universe, because Batman can't stand out on his own in more grounded stories. So, yeah, that's why I think it's been a little bit tricky getting a lot of Batman TV series. But also, like you said, we wouldn't have had Gotham. We wouldn't have had all the animated series that we have. We wouldn't have had, in ways, we probably wouldn't have had Batwoman on the CW. So, yeah, stop with the rumors and let James Gunn do his job. He's got a lot on his plate. Yeah, and it's the internet, guys. Don't believe everything you read. For the past few years, we should have realized that for sure. But
so right.
Yeah. Moving on to what got us here in the first place is comics. Up first, and this is one that I just love hearing about because I've loved these series so much, but we got a view of Starfire from the new Cammy Garcia Piccolo collaboration with the Titans books. So what did you think of this?
I love this series of books so much. Gabriel Piccolo's gone from an unknown fashion cartoonist to being one of my favorite storytellers in all these young adult graphic novels, from Beast Boy, Raven, Beast Boy Loves Raven, then the Robin book, which was right up my street, and now we're finally getting Starfire. Yes, it's a different universe. Yes, the origins are slightly different, but to me, that doesn't matter as much as the stories they're telling and the way that these characters are coming across like real people, like real teenagers with real issues and problems that real teenagers face. And Cammy Garcia, we've spoken to her, we know her, we love her. She's such a good writer and such a great person. Having her words married with Piccolo's art, it's just a match made in heaven. These images, these stories just work. And I'm a grown man in my 50s and I love these books. We frequently talk about the diversity and how the range of DC books is so rich right now. I would strongly urge anyone of any age to read these books because they're great. And I can't wait for the new one. Can't wait. What about you?
Me too. I'm the same. I'm a middle-aged guy who loves these books. In fact, these and the Titans TV show might be two of my favorite iterations of the Teen Titans characters. If you take Preacher, Preacher wouldn't be Preacher without Steve Dillon's art.
Absolutely.
Sandman wouldn't be the same without the artist. Watchmen wouldn't be the same without Dave Gibbons' art. I mean, it just wouldn't be the same. And I think Cammy Garcia and Gabriel Piccolo, it's the same thing. These books wouldn't have that spark of magic that they have if it wasn't for a perfect combination of the writing and the art. Don't matter what age you are, pick up these books because you won't be disappointed. I can't talk enough about how much I like these books, even though I'm not the target audience, but they're done so well that I never felt like I was reading a kid's book. I felt like I was reading a good comic that dealt with, like you said, with teenagers with real issues that teenagers face and deal with.
Yeah, they're novels with stunning art, in all honesty, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah, Exactly, exactly. And up next, we learned that the Brave and the Bold issue 12 is going to feature an original story by Charlie Adlard and Kari Khanna. Now, you might know Charlie as the artist for Walking Dead, so that made me really excited, and the art is really cool. It's a black and white story, so yeah, I'm looking forward to this. So what about you?
Great team. Two really talented creators at the top of their game. As you know, I try to go every year to the massive Thought Bubble comic convention in the UK, which is the biggest purely comics convention we have over here. And one of the first people I go and see, because he's there almost every year, is Charlie Adlard. A, because he's a lovely guy to talk to. B, he's always got time to sign your books and talk about what he's working on. And he mentioned a Batman story, but he couldn't talk much about it when I saw him in November. Here's the fruition. Batman, Brave and the Bold, amazing. The guy can draw. He co-created Walking Dead. He didn't just draw it, he co-created Walking Dead. In terms of atmosphere and storytelling, he's brilliant. Brave and the Bold, as we frequently say, like we do with young adult graphic novels, DC's anthology books are the best bar none. And Brave and the Bold, from issue one, with the talent it's had creating the stories and the stories the talent's been telling, has blown me out of the water. And with these two guys coming on for a story in issue 12, damn it, DC, take my money. As a very wise man once said, it's a great time to be a DC fan. What do you reckon, Brad?
Yes, it is. And he's the king of black and white art. And I'm glad that you brought up that he co-created The Walking Dead, because that would be another situation that we just talked about, where it's the art and the story combining.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, because that was such a cinematic story, and his art brought all that into it. Like the way he kind of used his eyes, the camera, and it felt like I was watching a movie, and it wouldn't have been the same without his art. And I can't wait to see what he does with Batman. Batman's a great, I mean, obviously we've seen the Batman black and white series that are out. It's a character that kind of transitions into the black and white very, you know, very well. So I'm excited. And like you said, those DC does anthology books like no one else. So I'm going to love seeing this and seeing his art in the context of not Walking Dead. So I'm super psyched for it. And we're also we are getting some more young adults. We're learning about the past of Wonder Woman and Blue Beetle in two new young adult graphic novels. What'd you make of this?
I mean, two of the greatest characters you could pick for YA books, aren't they, really? I love Blue Beetle. I adore Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman, to me, is up there with Batman, Spider-Man and Superman as my favourite characters of all time. And to see her in a YA graphic novel with this such gorgeous, clean, not quite cartoony, but just lively, vibrant art. And seeing any of Diana's past to me is always a joy. I love the young Diana backup stories in the Becky Cloonan and Michael Conrad run of Wonder Woman. Those stories just make me happy. They made me feel young again, and they told actually quite deep stories, but in a more innocent art style. And when you get that married into the comics and the young adult graphic novels, it just really, really works. And to have that with Blue Beetle as well, again, one of these characters that has been around in his original incarnation since the Golden Age, through Dan Garrett, through Ted Kord, through Jaime Reyes, it's just a character that I think deserves a young adult graphic novel and a new audience to get people invested in Blue Beetle's adventure. So to me, two brilliant characters, a great set of stories to tell. What's not there? They're not to be happy about. I'm really looking forward to both of these books.
Yeah, me too. The DC, yeah, you know, I'll say it. It's a great time to be a DC fan. You have, and one of those reasons is that they're not afraid to do fun things with the characters. And all these young adult books, for the most part, have been really good. I look forward to them. Like I said, I'm not the target audience, but they're done generally so well. To me, both a young Wonder Woman story and a Blue Beetle story seem tailor-made for a young adult graphic novel. you know, Jaime's a younger character anyway, so it fits well that he would, you know, have a relatable story to the young adult crowd and a way to, you know, get more people in to show some representation. I think it's perfect. And yeah, I think as far as role models for girls, young girls growing up, I think that Barbie and Wonder Woman are right up there neck and neck with some of the most important as they're growing up.
Well said.
So, yeah, so that, I think that makes sense as well. I'm surprised they haven't done that sooner. So yeah, I'm looking forward to both of these books for sure. Yeah. So people, if you haven't read these young adult graphic novels, do yourself a favor. Pick them up. And I think our next story may be a story that could be your favorite of the week, with Folio Press releasing a celebration of 85 years of Batman in a hardcover book. So what'd you make of this?
Now, I think I could do an entire podcast just about this subject, but I'm not going to bore everyone. Just to say that for people who may not be familiar, because they're a British publisher, the Folio Society are, I think the closest equivalent in the US would be Insight Editions, where they just produce beautifully bound, beautifully made, well-crafted, gorgeous volumes that collect pop art throughout the decades. Now, they recently did a DC Golden Age collection, which was just stunning. So when I heard that that was so successful, they were going to be doing a whole range, and we are going to get a Superman and Wonder Woman volume like this later in the year. You heard it here first, people. This first one, DC Batman, like you said, it's a celebration of 10 decades, 85 years this year of Batman's appearances in comics. And it collects 12 of the very best, most collectible, most sought after, most loved Batman stories from the 30s right till the present day, including, and this is the one that really blows me away, a virtually identical facsimile of Batman number one from 1940, which collects the first appearance of the Joker, the first appearance of Catwoman in its original comic book size, with all the original ads on that beautiful, not quite white paper, where you can almost smell it when you open the pages. It's just divine. And they've done that with a massive hardcover as well, the other 11 stories, the stories from the 40s to the 70s. Rather than, we've discussed this before, Brad, some of these collections you get these days, they keep the same comics, the same art, the same colours, but put it on bright white paper and it loses something. It loses that atmosphere of reading those old comics, that comic book smell that you get when you walk into a comic book store. The way Folio Society have done it, they've scanned it from the DC archives from original issues, the highest quality possible, cleaned those up, but kept the tinge of the paper so that when you open this, you feel like you're reading an old comic book. But it's in a massive, giant size, beautifully bound, stitched, embossed cover in a slipcase, plus the facsimile. Then you get the fact that DC legend Jeanette Kahn is the one who created these stories. You and I are both huge Jeanette Kahn fans. We know that she changed DC's fortunes around and made them, in my opinion, still to this day, the premier comics book company in the world. She's the one who brought about the British Revolution, bringing Marvel writers and artists to DC and elevating them to their top tier status. We wouldn't have Vertigo or Sandman or Preacher or any of that stuff without Jeanette Kahn. So the fact that she's curated these 12 stories, and what stories, what creators, Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams, Steve Englehart, Marshall Rogers, Alan Grant, Doug Monch, Norm Brayfogle, the best of the best of the best, Frank Miller, David Mazzucchelli. We get the opening chapters of Batman Year One and The Dark Knight Returns, the full Killing Joke. What more can I say? If you're a Batman fan, you need this book. It's not cheap, but trust me, for the way it's presented and for its contents, it's worth every penny. I mean, you've only known about this for a couple of days. So I threw this story into the news list last thing. I mean, what do you make of it? I mean, you are the man with the eye.
It's a beautiful book. And also, you know, brought in Jeanette Kahn that she's the one who put this together, and she did a great job. You have the whole Killing Joke graphic novel in here as well. Now that's, and like you said, the first two chapters of year one, and you get also the first appearance of Robin. You know, you even get a little bit of kind of team up action with Batman and Green Arrow. Senator's been shot. This is just, yeah, like you were saying, that the people that are involved, you know, as far as the talent, you know, the stories that she chose, Neil Adams, Denny O'Neill, but I don't need to go back into that. You said it all, but it would be so cool just if you have, if you know somebody who's just starting to get into Batman, you can hand them this book and say, this will tell you almost everything you need to know, and have them read it, and you get such a wide variety of stories and what the character can be. I think this is be the ultimate gift for pretty much any Batman fan. So, we talked about this before we started recording this book. So, yeah, like you said, you could do a whole podcast just on this book. It's going to be incredible. And you also brought up Inside Editions, because that's what I was kind of thinking when I was looking over the story, that it would remind me of something that Inside Editions would put out. And that was a great bit of news too, that we're going to see this with Wonder Woman and Superman.
Oh yeah, Man of Steel and Wonder Woman are getting their books too. Yeah,
that's going to be incredible. And so I hope that she curates those books as well.
That I don't know as yet, but the fact that you brilliantly said, and I wish I'd mentioned it as well, you're so right, that you'll see every aspect of Batman, from the ridiculous to the sublime, from the pulp noir of the 30s and 40s to the crazy antics of the Silver Age, right up to the realistic street level Batman of today. You're getting every aspect, and some people may not even know that. Some people would still only know Batman from TV and movies. To get every aspect and all the greatest creators from Batman history in one cover, and a perfect copy of Batman number one. Wow.
Yeah, I can't wait to look through that and see what ads were like, what the ads were for Batman number one. That's a really
cool
idea.
It's so good.
That's a great idea. And our last story of the day, it's kind of a mix in the comics and in the other, because we're getting a prequel of the Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League video game. And this is Suicide Squad Kills Arkham Asylum. What would you make of this? Are you gonna collect the series?
Well, I've read the first two issues. Issue two's out in a couple of weeks, I believe. And so far, I'm enjoying it. I love the art style. It's similar to the game, but different enough to still be purely comic book realm because of the creative team they've chosen. But I love the fact that, I mean, you and I have said it forever. When you get comic books based on video games as great as Injustice by Tom Taylor, whenever they do things like this again, it just adds to the whole layer and the world that the video game creators have made, that you can read a whole story that sets the foundation and gets you excited to play the game itself. These kind of tie-ins are brilliant, because there are people that play video games, there are people that play comics, and there are people like yourself that do both. But this will open doors for more people to do both. And anything that gets people playing video games will make their video game companies happy. And anything that gets people to read comics will make people... First two issues have been great fun. The characterization is brilliant. And if the game is half as good as the comics, hey, even I'm tempted to play the game. But yeah, it's win-win, Brad. I mean, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I agree. So many times when they put out comics to promote a video game, it's kind of like a throwaway. They don't really care how good the art is or really good the story is. Injustice changed all that, and I'm hoping that with this series it continues that. I think the art is already above what you get with a lot of these like tie-in books, so that's a good sign. And I did enjoy the first issue. I haven't read the second issue yet, but yeah, I can appreciate stories that fill out the game world a bit, because sometimes in video games, the narrative can get a little bit dicey because of, you know, moving it along into gameplay way, you know, so sometimes you need to flesh that out a little bit. So I'm glad that we're getting a comic that can do that. So it's kind of nice to be in an age where those books are taken seriously, and it looks like this is one of those. So yeah, I'm here for it too. So yeah, and that wraps up another episode of the DC Comics News podcast. Before we go, Steve, if people wanted to read more and hear more from you, where would they go?
First stop, definitely DC Comics News and Dark Knight News, and my own website, Fantastic Universes. And you get to all my work on all three of those just by typing the words Steve J. Ray into your search engine of choice, or Fantastic Universes. And do check out my review for DC Batman by the Folio Society, because trust me, when you read this review, you're going to want this book too. And you can catch me on this show, usually with Brother Brad, who I would never want to be without, my hero, my partner in crime, the other half of the dynamic duo, and on I Am the Night with my cub Adam, where we talk about every episode of Batman the Animated Series. Only three episodes left of the show, then three movies, and then we need to hear from you, the audience. Do you want us to carry on and do Batman Beyond? Do you want us to talk about the Batman Adventures comics? You tell us, and that's where we'll go forward after a brief hiatus when we finish the three remaining episodes and the three remaining animated movies. But until then, hey, Brad, you're a man on the know. You write, you speak. Where can the world find you?
You can find me news, writing news and reviews on DC Comics News, and Mark with the movie blog. I can follow me on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, FlickyB1. And I do occasionally come on the I Am the Night podcast, and I still say that we're going to get back to the Harley Quinn Mad Love podcast, so you can find me on there as well. Yeah. And as far as DC Comics News, you can follow us on all socials at DC Comics News, capital D, capital C, Comics News. And with that, we always like to end the episode saying something that everyone should be doing and that we want everybody to do, and that is to read
more comics. They're so yummy.
Yes, they are. All right, guys, until next time.